Right. All of a sudden you're like, okay, well, ask if they wanted me to do something with them. I'm like, no, we're good, we're fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you have no idea, like, what am I going to do with my time? And you're like paralyzed and like, what do I do? Just look at those decisions as a conscious decision. Like, if you want to make that choice, go for it. But know that that's the decisions that you're making, because they will stack up to like this new identity before you know it. So just make those decisions consciously. Again, it comes down to your desires. So for the moms, it all of a sudden that's overwhelming and their desires just become so encompassing. If that's their choice, so be it. But the moms that don't want that happen have to really put that intention into it.
Guys, this is season 3 of the podcast. You are with Amanda Micallef, and I'm here today with Michelle. Michelle comes all the way from Wisconsin in the US. So Michelle, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. I can't wait to chat with you.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So you're actually a mum coach, and you've not long just fallen into this kind of work.
Yes, just starting. Excited to get in there.
Yeah. And then obviously prior to that, you were a teacher as well. Is that right?
I taught high school for 8 years. I taught a little bit of middle school, a little bit of elementary. And then I decided to stay home for another 8 years before I decided to go into doing this.
So what was the turning point for you then?
Actually, the big turning point, I think, was during COVID, around September 1st of 2020. We made the decision on that day to actually decide to homeschool my kids for the year, as well as start a program called the 75 Hard. And so the reason why I did that, though, was because I just felt so lost in who I was and didn't know what I wanted to do anymore. And so I felt like I needed something to feel like to reclaim myself in a way and figure out how to do that.
Yeah. How easy is it as a mom to lose yourself?
I feel like it's just so easy because we don't even realize it happened. All of a sudden we wake up and it's like, we're just a different person, have all these responsibilities and like, and I think I start to notice it as my kids started to get a little bit older. I mean, right now they're 12, 9, and 6. But as they start to get a little bit older and they start to play, like even just 15 minutes, you know, they start to play by themselves. And all of a sudden you're like, what do I want to do with this 15 minutes? And you have like absolutely no idea. So I start filling it with like Candy Crush or like things. But then all of a sudden you're like going down this rabbit hole of Facebook time or whatever. You will look up and you're like, oh, I should be doing something else. Or I don't even feel like I enjoyed that time. It was just like, it was killing time because I had it, but then I wasn't using it wisely in my eyes.
So as a mum, it's like, I guess when you're overworking constantly and that's all you do. And then when you find you have some downtime, you're like, does it throw you into like a little bit of overthinking as well? Because you're just not used to not being busy.
Right. All of a sudden you're like, okay, well, ask if they wanted me to do something with them. I'm like, no, we're good. We're fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you have no idea. Like, what am I going to do with my time? And you're like paralyzed and like, what do I do?
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot of guilt that comes into this as well. Like, so maybe we'll touch on some of the guilt that mums feel when they want to start. Like, they know that they need some balance in their life because they've just become this mum and nothing else. And they've let themselves go, whether it was once upon a time they had a fitness routine and they've let that go, or they had a social life and then they've let that go. So then how do you help mums connect with themselves again?
It starts with those baby steps because we've been so disconnected for so long. And so it kind of goes back to like when you first hold that baby and everything changes, right? Your priorities, everything about you just changes, but then you don't realize it. Like every decision you make, for instance, I need to stay home. I can't go out because I need a nurse and my husband can't take care of that. So I'm just going to stay. I decide. But each little decision that you make along the lines starts to make this new definition that you may not even consciously know. And so it's not that this is necessarily a bad thing, but it's just moms, those that are starting, just look at those decisions as a conscious decision. Like if you want to make that choice, go for it, but know that that's the decisions that you're making because they will stack up to like this new identity before you know it. So just make those decisions consciously. I did a lot of unconscious decisions and all of a sudden it was like, who am I? What do I want to do? I'm like, I don't even know what I like doing anymore. Cause like all the things I used to do and things all of a sudden I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I've been doing so many things the kids want to do. And you know, you get into those things like you just keep doing what they want to do and you're not necessarily even enjoying it. You're just whatever interests them, entertains them kind of thing. But once I start asking the question, what do I like doing? Like for instance, my middle daughter, I always kind of want to draw a little bit, and she's taken on drawing. So like I might spend some time drawing with her and actually enjoy that, versus if they're playing Legos, it's not necessarily my thing, let them go do that on their own. So almost like picking and choosing the things that you actually do want to do with them that really starts to bring that identity back out again, bring that curiosity into just answering the question, what do I like doing, and focusing on those. Because then you're going to actually have better connections with them anyways. You're going to enjoy the time that you're spending with them and really develop those connections with them.
Yeah. So being able to kind of step away, would you sort of get mums to write things down and just kind of go, okay, if I speak honestly to myself now as a mum, what could I possibly still enjoy doing for myself? Because obviously a mum's needs would evolve over time. So what would be an example then of how you'd help a mother decide, all right, well, what can I do in my spare time?
So I go through a framework called check-in, but that first letter is curiosity. That's why I want to start with there. Because we just need to open our eyes again. Somewhere, when you have a three-year-old, they ask over 100 questions. By the time they're 12, they stop asking questions. By the time people are 25, only 2% are thinking outside the box. So it's time, moms, for us to expand that. And being a mom, we're in the best shoes to do that because you can use that curiosity through your kids' eyes. So you can start just observing, when do they light up, and kind of mimic them in a way, like relearn from them how to be curious, but in your mind, using that intention to, what do I actually enjoy doing? Making sure that's the question in your head. And then planning 10 minutes the next day to do one thing that you intentionally set out to do for yourself, and just start that process. We've unlearned this stuff without realizing it. Now we need to relearn it. And our kids are the best ways to do that because they are so full of curiosity.
Welcome to this short ad break. Not sure if you're aware, but I'm a personal trainer and have been for years now. So if you like the idea of training and being educated on how to eat for better health, then maybe it's time to hire me as your personal coach. You can start feeling confident, self-assured, and healthy again, so you can attract the best kinds of lovers and friendships into your life today. You can apply for online or face-to-face coaching with me, where I will take you through a hybrid fitness system that covers the three pillars to success, where I take you through the deep work of mindset principles and help you achieve breakthroughs, guide you to understand meal preparation for your goals, and customize your weight training program to help you build a healthy physique that you can be proud of. Find the application link in the show notes of this episode. Back to the show.
Yeah, that's cool. I find with mums as well, like I've got friends that are mums, like I'm at that age now where a lot of them are on their second and third kids. They're, you know, very much into their, deep into their relationships and stuff like that. And then, you know, whether they're just coming into motherhood, they kind of make mention of how their social life suffers in the process of that. But I think largely as well, the mother has to be responsible for how much effort they're putting back into their friendships, because they allow for the whole, this new little human being to take over their entire life. Now, I will never understand right now, until it happens to myself, if ever, how demanding it is to be a mother. So how can mums retain their social life and not feel guilty for it?
Again, it comes down to your desires. So for the moms that all of a sudden that's overwhelming and their desires just become so encompassing, that's a constant choice, a conscious choice. So if that's their choice, so be it. But the moms that don't want that happen have to really put that intention into it. You need to get that calendar out and say, let's make these plans. And you need to do it ahead of time. You can't wait till the moment. And obviously things come up and you might need to reschedule, but it's more likely to happen if it's in the calendar, or you're at least likely to reschedule it than to say, forget it. Because when you go to a friend and say, oh, let's get together in a couple of days, that never, ever happens. Especially as a mom, you have to just put in the schedule. You schedule for your kids, you do need to schedule for yourself too. Don't forget that you can put yourself into the calendar. Tell your husband, tell your spouse, get a babysitter, do something that allows you to have even an hour. Like go have coffee for an hour. It doesn't have to be these long chunks of time. I think that's the problem with moms, is we always feel like it has to be this long time. Or have it say, well, you know what? You know how I am. You know what my house is like. If you want to come over and let's chat in the house, right?
Yeah.
And invite them in. Just have that conversation knowing, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. It's a mess. Like, if you're okay with that, come on in. We don't have to have this idea that we have to have everything clean and perfect. Like, let's just be real together. That's the whole point. And the more we do that, the more we're going to have those genuine connections anyways. But you have to be intentional. And you have to plan it. Put yourself in the schedule.
Yeah. I don't have kids and I run a schedule. Like,
right.
If I didn't book people in, it's probably not going to happen. That's the truth. Like, I schedule people in. Some people laugh at me and go, fuck, you're too structured. And it's like, well, my life's busy, man. I'm trying to actually make an effort here. I could easily forget my friends because I'm that busy, but I'd rather schedule them in than not see them at all. And, you know, sometimes if I'm lucky, I might be able to see people off the cuff, but that really happens. I'll have to schedule people in. So I think it's just being responsible too. There's nothing wrong with, like, I get being, say, spontaneous, but, you know, like most people can't live spontaneously. I think most people are inundated with stuff that they have to do. And I think it's smart just actually scheduling.
It'd be nice to be spontaneous, but the reality of having human beings that you cannot leave by themselves takes that away as well. You just can't. So moms out there, just be intentional about it. Make those choices. And if you do want to be all encompassed by that baby, just know that that's a conscious choice and make it. Like, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Like, if you want to go all in and be there all the time and that's what your heart speaks, go for it. But just make the decision consciously and don't do it unconsciously. And just know that those are the decisions you're making and that that's going to guide who in 5 years from now you're going to be. And I think what the biggest thing is just the more we actually make decisions because we're making the decision rather than not making them is where we then become the people that we want to be.
Yeah.
That's where we're happy.
Totally, totally. And you're a single mom, right? Are you a single mom?
No, I'm not. I am not a single mom, no.
No single mom. Married? Partnered?
Yes.
Married.
Married.
Okay. Was there ever a time where you were a single mom?
No, I was never a single mom. 14 years married.
Okay, awesome. I don't know where that came from. I apologize for that.
No worries.
So when did you regain a sense of independence, I guess, in your own kind of marriage with the kids and everything like that?
I got to say that I'm lucky that my husband's really supportive and he's more hands-on, honestly. I never changed a diaper till my first son. And he'd already like had cousins and did all that stuff. So I was lucky on that front. So I don't want to say that it was him, but it was something I was doing to myself.
Mm.
I was putting this pressure on myself. And I wouldn't even say that he was inducing it, but it's the way I was looking and saying that I need to do these things and I need to be there. And I couldn't do that. And I think that it was all like, for me, those voices in my head putting that guilt totally on myself.
Yeah.
And like I said, that day is September 1st is when I finally like started to do something for myself and put that time in to do the exercising and do all those things to change my habits. That's why I'm saying start with that 10 minutes of curiosity to just start that shift. I mean, we don't need to jump in the deep end and go like, okay, well, I'm going to do, which is what I actually did. But you don't need to do that. We just need small shifts to start our mind going that direction because it takes time. We don't need to do it like all in a rush. We always want things right now. But if we don't start today, then a month from now, we're going to be like, oh, I should have done that. If you start today and do 10 minutes, then a month from now, you might be doing 20 versus not doing anything at all.
Totally.
Like, let's start the habit.
Yeah. So how different are your days these days from 2 years ago, like when you were teaching and stuff? How do you spend your days differently?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is my mornings. You don't necessarily need to be a morning person, but for me, when the kids would wake me up, I could feel a difference in my day. I would be like walking through this fog. And that's the biggest difference is I felt like I was just always in this fog, out of energy, just really tired and like irritable, really irritable. And I think that's why I yelled and more because I didn't have the energy to keep up with them. Mm. But now, I mean, I'll get up and even if I get into a 5-minute meditation or something before they get up, I just have that frame of mind to start the day differently and that different outlook. And it doesn't have to be a long period of time. And then I'm ready to face them and then actually enjoy it, that I'm not so irritable that we can have fun together. And the other thing is, moms, don't forget that you can have fun with your kids. We don't have to just be responsible. We can goofy with them. And that's the hard part for me because I'm not a goofy person, but I've got goofier because of them, which has been great. That's the hard part though, is going like, we always have to be responsible and don't let the dads have all the fun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it doesn't have to be so serious all the time. It must be exhausting to always feel like you're constantly handing down punishment or reminders on, you know, clean this and do that and show up in time for dinner and blah, blah, blah. And like, I remember just having a bit of a laugh with my parents growing up as well. Yes, they had a lot of responsibility, but we had those times, especially with my mum, where she was a complete goof, but her humour was great. She always made us laugh. we could always take the mickey out of her. And it was just embracing your inner child, which I'm sure mums forget, you know, they forget.
And the other tip I have is if you like the activity that your kids are doing. So for instance, I put my kids in Taekwondo and I did it a little bit in college and was fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And so my two oldest were doing it. And then by the time my youngest did it, I joined them.
Mm.
And so I was doing it right alongside of them. Rather than sitting there on my phone and just watching them, I went in and participated with them, which it was just so fun. And my son and I just got our black belts together, which in the end, he ended up teaching me forms because I was falling behind and he was getting them. And it was fun for him to be like the one, oh, I have to help mom. She needs my help.
Yeah.
And so I think showing that vulnerability to them, like I was struggling with it and I needed help, but I did ask him for help. And we don't have to know everything. And I think that was the other problem is somewhere along the lines in the 50s or whatever, it was, moms are supposed to know all this and do it by themselves. And you see these Facebook pictures and you're supposed to have known like how to do that, why it's happening. But moms, let's help each other out. Rather than being envious of someone doing something else, why don't you ask them how they did it?
Mm.
And like start asking questions again, bring that curiosity back. Ask them how they're doing it. And chances are there's a longer story involved in that that you may or may not want to do. And you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot. Maybe I want to do that. Maybe I don't. But like, let's hear the full story instead of that story in our head.
You just raised something really, really interesting, right? Do you find that a lot of parents get jealous of their children for that reason? Because they can't admit that they don't know everything?
My instance was actually thinking of other parents online, but you're right too. The same thing with also parents trying to live through their kids instead of letting them be who they are. A lot of the books I've been reading is just like, if they were a lawyer, they want their kid to be a lawyer and like putting them in that position to do those things. And so I think as parents, our biggest goal is just to open them to new experiences and let them see what clicks with them. Like, for instance, my middle daughter ended up quitting Taekwondo because she went and wanted to do swimming. She ended up falling in love with swimming, and now she's in swim meets all the time. And I wasn't going to force her to stay in Taekwondo just because that's what we were doing. So it's opening up and just giving them exposures and then letting them see what sticks for them and just guiding them along the way because we can't control it. They're their own individual people. We just need to be the guides and foster what they want to do.
Yeah.
The best way that we can.
I'd imagine that would be hard for a mum, though, that doesn't know how to think outside the box or isn't really doing much for themselves. So everything you said makes sense. But when they are very stuck in their ways, how can they help nurture their children to think outside the box when they're not even thinking outside the box themselves?
That's why it starts with us. If the mom feels unhappy, it really starts with figuring out what you want to do. Because until I did, I mean, I can tell you with my son, half of our conversations were completely yelling. And he's very personality like me, that a lot of times I'd throw my hands up in the air and go to my husband, well, you deal with me, you can deal with him. And would kind of walk away. But that's not what I wanted to do. But it took me a long time to figure out how I could do differently. But it was because I wanted to do differently. So those moms feel stuck. But it starts with, think about this, moms, is your kids are watching what you do. So the best way for them to be happy adults is to witness a happy adult and you be that model for them.
Yeah.
For me, starting this business, I thought, oh, okay, well, I can't do this. I can't take time away. It's going to take too much time away from family. I'm not going to do all these activities. What I never foresaw was my son watching what I'm doing, wanting now to help me every once in a while with a YouTube video. Every day he comes home, he's like, so any new clients? What's going on? Like his interest. And now he may want to do his own podcast or YouTube channel someday. He was close to starting one last summer, but I don't want to push, but I'm just going to be there to guide if he wants to. And so I think that's our job is just to expose him to these different things. And he would never have even thought of that if I hadn't started doing this.
So does he actually help you with any of your content creating? Like, is he savvy with technology?
He has in the past. He's still only 12, so I didn't want to like, he's adjusting to middle school and everything. So every once in a while when he wants to, I don't want to rely on it. But yes, he will when he's in the mood for it or he loves doing Canva and making stuff. And he's done a couple of my shorts for me. Yeah, I would say yes. And some of them I don't necessarily think they're the best, but sometimes they've got better views than I would have expected.
That's awesome. But the fact that he's actually interested and it's bonding time for you too as well.
Right. again, the genuine bonding time, because if I had just been going towards his interests and never going towards my own,
yeah,
and him wanting to learn more about mine and being interested by it too, it wouldn't have been as genuine of a connection.
Mm, yeah. Now, if we're talking about how you work with mums, right? So mum comes to you, she's lost herself and she needs help. How do you work with mums? Like, do you go through a particular X amount of weeks, like a course that you take them through? Someone that has no idea, but they're curious to come and work with you. Let's just talk about that, how you work.
So for me right now, my vision, I've only, again, just starting, so I've only done beta courses. I haven't done a full-blown course yet, which I'm going to be offering. And I have an affiliate link for your listeners. So it's a six-week course that I'm offering. And we go through this framework, as I said, check-in. So the C is connection, honesty, expectations, connection, keep listening, intentional now. So those are the 6 weeks. But the real thing that that's to get the jumpstart into figuring out what you want. But really what I want to do is almost be a matchmaker for moms. So in that second C of connection, so in week four of our 6 weeks together, we have however many moms in Zoom room, I want to put them into groups of 3 to 5, that then the last half of the class, I will teach them how to keep that group with the facilitation that we're doing and take it with them. I don't want the course to end for them, and I don't want them to keep paying indefinitely. I mean, memberships down the line maybe, but my goal is really to match them with like-minded moms, because what I found in my journey is it gets lonely. When you start to go down this route, you may or may not have people around you that want to do that. They might think you drank the Kool-Aid, or they might think, oh, well, you know, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to have those conversations. Or they might be the type of mom where you feel like you're in the negative Olympics. One person complains, and then who can complain the most about their husband or their kids? And that's the type of conversations that I was getting tired of. And so for me, I want to create this bridge for them, because again, we've been so disconnected, and being vulnerable and open again is hard. So this is a safe space of Zoom on purpose, not to go in person yet, because I did actually do an in-person group for myself and ended up removing myself because it was almost like jumping into the deep end. Like we've been too disconnected to start that way.
Sure.
The other key to Zoom is that because it's Zoom, you could move, and if you guys choose to keep this group, it could be forever. And so that's what I want to create for these moms, is a jumpstart through the check-in process, but then to really give them the facilitation to take this group with them and then have a group wherever they go.
Yeah,
and so that they can jumpstart this growth, because it really is about accountability and doing it and supporting each other. Because you can say all this stuff in your head. You can go read your personal development book. But once you say it out loud to other people who are supportive, it changes everything. But to find those people when you're first starting out can be really challenging. Like all of a sudden your friends may or may not want to participate in that. And then you're now finding, who can I get like-minded moms? So I want to take that part out for them and bring all the moms together.
You've just raised so many interesting things. And obviously over the years have had mum friends, or, you know, I've grown up with them. So I've seen them be single, get married, then have kids, and how it changes their life, how it changes their attitude, how they go through the loneliness part of it, all that sort of stuff. But also I remember having an online coaching client. She was a mum of four. She had a partner and she was stuck at home with the kids, but didn't really have a strong social network. And she tried to put herself out there. So what advice do you have for mums that are trying to put themselves out there and they're still struggling to meet like-minded mums? Outside of the course that you offer, if you had just some free advice for someone.
That's where I go towards that genuine connection. So it's looking at the things that you like doing. If you like drawing, maybe doing a drawing class. But again, if that's too much, that might be like you can't get out of the house, you can't do things. My first step is just to practice. Start changing your habits. In terms of when you're at the grocery store or at Starbucks or wherever you're going and someone asks you a question or you see someone who's interesting, rather than holding that comment in your head, go give someone a compliment. Go ask one more question just to practice that opening up again, because it's hard to actually make those genuine connections. And you never know where that conversation might take you. So you see an interesting mom, go give them a compliment or ask them a question about what they're doing or something. And if it goes nowhere, it's just that practice of opening up again. Because we've been so much in our own little boxes, our own little cars, we're like hide our heads and we can't go forward because we're so used to being in our lane. So let's just move on trying to veer over to the other lane and do it slowly. And as we start that, then we're going to start making those genuine questions. Ask questions about things you like doing. Make that connection. See if people have that same. ideas as you.
Totally.
And again, it starts with knowing what you like, which is the hard part as a mom. All of a sudden you're like, I do everything the kids do. I don't know what I like. Mm. Start there.
Totally. You know what? I think a really good mindset for people to get into as well, to get out of their comfort zone, because it's a confidence thing. It's a confidence thing to be able to walk up to a stranger and compliment them and start a random convo. I love it. And I do it all the time. I wasn't always like that though. Right.
I wasn't either at all.
It's taken time to build up to that. But, you know, if we're on holiday, if we think about when we're on holiday, right, and everyone's like, oh, you know, you go away on holiday, everyone talks to everyone. So why not do that when you're at home? Why not? Because the next stranger that you talk to will invite that conversation as much as you wanted to give it. So we probably assume that people don't want to be talking to you. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes when you're not in holiday mode, we're in rush mode and we're just going about our day. How many random strangers start conversations with me? It happens all the time. I must have an open, inviting energy, but that's because I invite it. Like I energetically open to it. And I think if you can start also there where subconsciously or consciously be aware that you are open to people coming to you, because maybe it's a safety thing. Maybe people are so used to not talking to strangers. We're told not to talk to strangers, and get out of that mindset. As mums, especially, you can sense danger versus who's not going to hurt you. And it would be super lonely to just be closed off from the rest of the world. And it takes practice. So I think, like, where do mums hang out most of the time? Probably at the supermarket, you know?
Well, the supermarket, I mean, I didn't even think of actually, you brought up a story in my head of even before I start doing all this, but I was in a library group and there was this one mom there that I just, looked like someone I'd want to talk to. Mm. And so I finally got the nerve towards the end of the session to talk to her. So we ended up talking, making friends. I didn't even realize that she was neighbors with one of the moms I already knew. And I'd already met her years ago, didn't even know it. I had a picture of her in one of my photos. Like,
oh, no way. You
know, like, we just don't know this because we're so shy. It's like, worst case scenario, such, I don't want to talk to you. That's worst case scenario for the most part, right? Like, I'm too busy. I can't go. Maybe another day. That's worst case scenario. But best case scenario is you might have a new friend someday. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just put yourself out there. It is daunting. It takes practice. And you can work with someone like Michelle who can actually bring you out of your shell, literally. That's great.
You just coined that for me.
You can take that one. That's gold. All right, lovely. So we're going to put all your social links and stuff below. Is there anything you want to sort of say before we say goodbye?
Again, as we were saying, it does take effort to put yourself out there. And yes, you could go join all these groups and stuff, and that's a great way too. But like I said, just start with the baby step. If you're at the library, you see someone, start with a compliment, start with a question. Like, it's a habit. It's a practice. And just know it's not easy at first. Like, that first time is really hard, and that's okay. Mm. Just try it. That first comment, even if you stutter, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Totally.
And then once you do it, it becomes so much easier. It's just getting past that fear. But it's also being open. Like you said, once you're open to it, you send off a different vibe. You really do. You can think about like the look in your face, like when you don't want someone talking to you, you've got that look. But once you start to change that, then people might be approaching you without even knowing it.
You just want to be able to attract people that are on the same wavelength as you. And the more open you are, the more you're going to either be met with resistance or someone who is just going to completely gravitate straight to you.
I love how you said resistance, but also think of it this way. So if someone does say no, that's probably a good thing because they're not on your wavelength.
They're not your person. That's it.
But you have to put yourself out there to find those people and to put that energy out. So honestly, sometimes a no is not necessarily a bad thing. Like you could save yourself some heartache down the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So no's aren't necessarily a bad thing. Let's remember that as well.
Yeah. Well said, Michelle. All right. It's been really fun to chat to you today. You have an affiliate link down below for your 6-week course. So make sure you guys check that out. And guys, if you are loving these conversations about all things relationships, make sure you subscribe on all our channels. We're pretty much everywhere. Well, the main three, Spotify, iTunes, and Google. And Michelle has her social links below. So if you want to reach out, ask some questions, start a conversation with Michelle, because I'm sure she would love more mum friends as well. Michelle, helping everyone come out of their shell. Thank you so much for jumping on today.
Thanks for giving that. Bye, everyone.